See, sometimes we worry about things. You know, our imagination, as the Temptations would say, was just my imagination running away with me. And so there are imagined dangers. If we sit around long enough, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Because if we sit around long enough and are left to our own thoughts, it's unbelievable where our imagination and where our mind will take us.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Worry, Anxiety. I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Worry, Anxiety. I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out.
Continuing in our series on Let's Get Personal with Your Issues. Today our travels take us to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I believe for those of you who have notes, it says starting in verse 23, but we're going to actually start in verse 25, and also just want to point out that the X was left out of anxiety, so you can make those corrections in your notes. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than food and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Thank God for the reading of His word. And this morning we're going to look at the subject of worry or anxiety. The title of our message is, I gave it over to the Lord, and He worked it out. Somebody has said, worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's trouble. According to the National Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of less than one glass of water. 7 blocks of fog, 100 feet deep, is less than one glass of water. Now you think about fog that clouds our vision, that knocks our perspective off kilter, that slows us down. I don't know about you, but I hate traveling east, especially when you hit Breezewood early in the morning, because you run into a dense fog, and I've been caught in it several times, and I've learned my lesson that the fog is so dense that you can't even see the vehicle in front of you. And so to think about fog that 100 feet deep, 7 blocks, is less than one cup of water. And when we think about worry, we see that all the problems that we worry about, all the things that cause us concern and anxiety, I believe that if we could take all those problems that seem like they're 7 blocks long and 100 feet deep, that if we can take all that worry and boil it down, it would fit into one cup of water. You see, often we are worried about, we are consumed about things that will never even come to pass. Somebody did a study, and they studied people who were given to worry. And this is the results of that study. 40% worried about things that would never happen. 30% worried about past matters that were beyond their control. 12% worried about health issues that were only in their imagination. 10% worried about family, friends, and neighbors without any substantial basis. So in other words, all the worrying that goes on today is less than 10% of things that we legitimately need to worry about. 10%, you can take all the worries of the world and boil them down into a glass of water. And that's where we are today as a society. There was a Chinese man who was visiting, and somebody asked him to give his observation about American life. And he studied American life for a couple of months, and then he said, I can summarize it in 3 words: hurry, worry, and bury. And that's about the size of our lives. We hurry to get to this place. We hurry to get to that place. And while we're hurrying to get here and hurrying to get there, we're worrying every step of the way. And so then the next thing that's on the agenda of our lives is that we are buried. And many people are going to the grave today simply because they haven't learned how to conquer this giant called anxiety. I think I read this before, but it merits reading it again. There was a poem, and it went something like this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of a holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitation. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. And that's the summary of some people's lives. They worry about things that are not going to happen, and then they worry about things that may happen, and they spend their whole life worrying, and they never get exactly what they want. Jesus gives us some advice in this passage of Scripture that we read today, and we're going to point it out to you a little bit later. What is worry, or what is anxiety? Anxiety is a feeling of uneasiness and concern in reaction to a stress-invoking situation. That anxiety is something that wells up within us. It's a feeling of uneasiness. It's a concern about something that has happened around us, and usually it involves a stress-invoking situation. If we were to categorize anxiety, we could put it into 3 categories. We could talk about the duration of anxiety, we could talk about the source of anxiety, and we could talk about the intensity of anxiety. What is the duration of anxiety? Anxiety can be quick and unexpected. And many of you have experienced this type of anxiety as you have been driving down the road and all of a sudden you see the police car put his lights on. You are going along pretty good without feeling pretty good about things, feeling pretty good about yourself, and then all of a sudden you saw that light come on, and what happened? These feelings of anxiety came over you. So sometimes anxiety can be quick and unexpected, but for many of us, anxiety is just something that grues on minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day. There are people who are chronic worriers. They just find every little thing to worry about. We have a term for those individuals today. If they're a female, we would call them a drama queen. And if they're a male, we would call them a drama king. And so these are people that just find things to worry about and bring drama in their life. In terms of the source of anxiety, where does it come from? It can come from real danger. There can be an actual threat that is out there threatening your life or threatening your being. And then we see that there is imagined danger. And this is something that might not even happen and more than likely will not happen. Some people have imagined danger. A man was standing at a bus stop and a young man came by and asked him, what time was it? And he just kind of ignored the guy, turned his head the other way. And they got on the bus and his friend asked him, he said, why were you so rude to that young man? He just wanted to know what time it was. And he said, well, if I'd have told him the time, we might have gotten into a conversation. And if we got into a conversation, he might want to know where I live. And then if he knew where I live, he might have come to visit me. And then if he came to visit me, he would have found out that I have a young, beautiful daughter. And if he found out that I had a young, beautiful daughter, they might have got married. And I don't want my daughter marrying anybody that can't afford a watch. See, sometimes we worry about things. You know, our imagination, as the Temptations would say, was just my imagination running away with me. And so there are imagined dangers. If we sit around long enough, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Because if we sit around long enough and are left to our own thoughts, it's unbelievable where our imagination and where our mind will take us. And generally, it'll take us right down the avenue of worry. And so we see that there is the duration, there's the source, and there's the intensity. For some people, worry is mild. And that means you worry, but then something comes along that occupies your mind, that takes your attention off of it, and then you go on, and then when that thing is passing, the worry is back on your mind again. Now, this may last for a day, it may last for a couple days, but it's intermittent. But then on the flip side, there are other people who just are at a high rate of anxiety. I mean, even when they're doing other things, they're just consumed with thoughts of worry and anxiety. It never goes away. And there are some people like that. I mean, they just 24/7, you know, they are worried about issues that are in their life. And so these are the categories of anxiety. What causes anxiety? They're basically, according to psychiatrists and psychologists, there are four areas that anxiety come from. They come from threats. That if you feel threatened, that is a cause for anxiety. In Matthew chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, but you remember the disciples were on the boat, and Jesus was downstairs asleep, and down in the bottom sleep. And a storm came, and the disciples, the Bible says, that they began to worry. And they came and they said, Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Well, why were the disciples worried? They were worried because their very lives were threatened. And so we sometimes worry because there's a legitimate threat to our life. Maybe it's an illness that we're dealing with. You know, all you got to do is get sick. And it's easy for me to stand up here in this pulpit and talk about when you get sick, don't worry. And it's easy for somebody that's not experiencing sickness to tell somebody else to not worry. But when you're dealing with issues in your own body, that this causes concern and this causes a reason for anxiety. But the bottom line is, as we're going to see today, it's not whether or not you get anxiety, it's how you handle the anxiety when you get it. And see, a lot of people don't know how to handle anxiety when it comes in their life. And so there are threats that cause anxiety. There's uncertainty, not knowing how things are going to turn out, not knowing what's around the corner, not knowing what's ahead for your life, that people begin to get worried because they don't know what's ahead. Oh, here goes one right here, being in conflict with somebody else. That causes worry. In 1 Kings 19, after Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal, here he had stood up against all these prophets, and one lady began to oppose him, and he began to worry. And he was so worried that he ran for about 3 days without stopping to get away from this queen that was after him. Well, why was he worried? He was worried because she said, just as you killed the prophets of Baal, I'm going to make sure that tomorrow around this same time, you're going to be dead. And so Elijah began to worry because he was in conflict. And maybe you're in conflict now. Maybe you're in conflict with somebody, and this is causing you a great deal of stress and anxiety. Well, the scripture, again, lets us know how we can deal with that. And then unmet needs. When people have unmet needs, they begin to worry. Unmet needs, that can be security. Maybe your possessions, your food, your clothes, your house. Maybe it's being threatened, and you're starting to worry. I remember we had a psychologist come and speak to our biblical counselors, and he said the most significant need that people have is the need to love and to be loved. And so maybe there's individuals who have this need to give love or this need to be loved. And because that need is not being met, then they begin to feel anxious and they begin to worry. And so these are the four root causes of anxiety: threats, uncertainty, conflicts, and unmet needs. Well, what are the results of anxiety? Well, first of all, and you know that this had to be number one, you know that this had to be right up front, right out of the gate, and that is physical issues. Tension, headaches, high blood pressure, ulcers, cancer, and we could go on and on. The list is unending of sicknesses that people have because worry is consuming their life. Secondly, there's an inability to focus. You have a hard time spending time with God. You might be talking to somebody, but your mind is somewhere else. You might be looking them right in the eye, having a dialogue back and forth, but in the back of your mind is this thing that's consuming you, this thing that's causing you to worry. You might be sitting down. You might sit down for an hour and say, I'm having my devotions, and I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to pray, and I've carved out an hour to do it, and you sit there for a whole hour, and you're just consumed by the thing that's causing you to worry. Some people have, as a result of anxiety, emotional issues. Well, what is that? Well, they get mad at the situation. They get mad at the person who is causing them worry or the person who is responsible for their worry. So this brings on a whole nother set of issues, that when anxiety comes and now we begin to have all these emotional issues, bitterness comes in our spirit. We get angry with folk. We get an unforgiving spirit. So there, and again, I just listed three, but there's a whole gamut of emotional issues that people have when they are anxious and worried. A lack of productivity. People who are consumed with anxiety, they are very low in their productivity. Why? Because if everything was in balance and everything was all right, they could zip through things and they could be fruitful and productive. But because they're consumed with worry, the process has been slowed down. The work has been slowed down because this worry is gripping them and holding them and dragging them back. And then worry pretty much boils down to just a lack of trusting God. This is the bottom line right here, that people who are consumed with worry, that the main result and the most devastating result is trusting God. I like the theme that the kids had this last week during vacation Bible school. No matter what happens, trust God. And they got that, man. They got that. Like I said, my four grandkids were here, and if they didn't get it, they got that. No matter what happens, trust God. And so people who are dealing with anxiety deal with a lack of trust in God. Now, at what point does anxiety become a serious problem? All right, there are three points when anxiety becomes a serious problem. The first point is when you're unable to deal with the source of your anxiety. Let me tell you what I mean. Say it's a person that's causing you anxiety, all right? There may be some situations where you could distance yourself and you can walk away and you don't have to deal with it anymore, right? And so it's gone, but there are sometimes your anxiety, oh, hallelujah, might be looking at you when you wait. No, I'm just kidding. Woo. Your anxiety may be something that you have to deal with on a daily basis. And here, you know, you are in the presence of this person on a regular basis, or let's say even the situation on a regular basis, and day after day, you go and you're worried and stressed out. Well, see, the fact of the matter is that that situation is not going anywhere. That situation is not going to be removed. So you, as a child of God, you need to learn how to deal with it, because it's not going anywhere. And if you keep worrying about the situation, it's going to take you to an early grave. And so we need intervention whenever the source of our anxiety, we haven't learned how to cope with it, and we haven't learned how to deal with it. What is another point at which anxiety becomes a serious problem? Well, when there is no real threat of danger in your life. Now, let's go back. 90% of what people worry about is imagined or will never happen. 90%. Just like that fog, 100 feet deep, 7 blocks long. Man, it's so overwhelming, it's so consuming. But when you melt it all down and when you bring it all down, it comes into one cup of water. All the stuff that you're worrying about, the money, the relationships, the job, the children, you know, all that stuff, you know, it seems like a giant fog. But when you boil it all down, it'll fit into one cup of water. 90% of what you and people worried about is really no reason for concern. Now, there is that 10% that we need to be legitimately concerned about. There is that 10% that we need to address if that's it. But I can think, you know, I'm just going to give you an example. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm just going to be, this is a real deal, right? That whenever something, I start feeling a little something in my body, you know, I think the worst thing right away, oh, my goodness, is this? I mean, our minds automatically jump to that. And then the Lord gives me one of them Looney Tunes slaps, right? So come on, man, come on back. See, I mean, and that's the way that we are wired as human beings. You know, it's automatically, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being careful and cautious, because we need to do that. But I'm just saying, automatically, what do? We jump all the way to the extreme a lot of times. And then this consumes us. And then, you know, we go, you know, I was having some fluttering in my ears. I mean, it just kept fluttering. I lay down at night and it would flutter. I'd be working during the day, it was fluttering. This was going for about 2 weeks. And finally, my wife talked me into going to the doctor. And I was worried, man. I thought that, you know, my eardrum was busted, or I was going to lose my ear.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Worry, Anxiety. I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Worry, Anxiety, I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Worry, Anxiety, I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Worry, Anxiety, I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.